The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 14, 15 to 24, the gospel lesson just read. And the title of the sermon is The Great Banquet. In 28 years of married life, my wife and I have hosted a good number of parties at 6 different residences. Our guest books are proof of that. Some parties were small, some were big, some were for holidays, some for birthdays, and some just to get some friends together. According to our guest book records, the last time we invited Grace Lutheran Congregation to our house was December 16th, 2018. About 33 of you attended, and that was not a bad turnout, really, and about the maximum we could handle indoors at Christmas time. And we had planned on doing that again in December of 2020, but guess what happened to that? If you've ever been a host or hostess, you know that it takes lots of planning to make sure that everybody has a good time. There must be enough food and drink. The cold stuff needs to be cold, the hot stuff needs to be hot. There must be enough plates, cups, napkins, utensils, and garbage cans in strategic locations. Whom you invite is a critical issue. If nobody knows anybody else except the host, it can result in a dull party, unless over half of the guests are naturally gregarious and they like to meet new people. And then there's the question of the RSVP. Do you ask for RSVP or not? People today tend not to RSVP, even when they plan to attend. So if you rely on RSVP numbers, you will not have enough food and drink to go around. And not having enough food and drink is about the biggest faux pas that any host can make. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells a story about a man who hosted a large party. As we can see in verse 16, the banquet of free food and drink was the main attraction. There may have been other things like music or other entertainments, but the food and drink was the main thing. Since he was a generous and wealthy host, he invited loads of people. In those days, a banquet like this was the only way that most people would get a chance to eat quality food or drink quality beverages. They did not have all the restaurants that we have today. And even where they did, the cost was prohibitive, even for the wealthy. So, a free ticket to a banquet like this was a special treat, and you just didn't turn it down. For you, it would be like getting a complimentary ticket to a box seat for a Giants triple header at Oracle Park, including a free limo to take you up and back, paid days off from work, free lodging, and all the fine food and drink that you would want. Gratis, no charge. Now, your friends would say you'd be crazy to turn that down. But turn it down is exactly what all the invited did when the host's servants knocked on their door. Note in verse 18 that it says, they all, every one of them, all alike, began to make excuses. The excuses mentioned in our text are just examples of the many excuses that the servants heard. One guy said he needed to look at a new field he bought. Another had bought some oxen to plow his farm. Another had married a wife. What? If you think about these excuses for a moment, you have to say that they're all pretty lame. As for the guy who married a wife, you would think he would take advantage of a free dinner date out, and she would have appreciated not having to cook for that night. So, what was the generous host going to do? The house was clean. The banquet hall was decked out to the nines. The musicians were already playing fine music. The drinks were ice cold, and the ice was melting. The bread was warm. The first pots of hot food were steaming and ready to eat. The roasts were fully cooked and tacked down to the cutting boards. And the servants were all ready to receive the guests. And the host's wife was either crying or getting very, very angry. The host had to do something because everything was ready and no guests were coming, and he better do it quick. Now, I don't recommend that you follow this host's example unless you have bodyguards and bouncers. Since he had so many servants, I'm sure he had some of those guys too. The host invited what some might call the riffraff from the city, the homeless people, the illegal immigrants, the drug addicts, the mentally ill, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the deaf, the mute, and the blind. They were all invited, and they all came. And that when that didn't fill all the seats, he told his servants to go outside of the city to compel the hobos and the vagabonds, the indigents, and other unfortunates to come in and join the banquet. And they came too. And what a banquet it was. It was reported about in the newspapers and remembered decades later as the poor man's feast, because none of the host's original invitees attended, and they all greatly regretted it later. Now, this is a great story, and all of Jesus' parables are. But what does it mean? There is no wrap-up or explanation at the end of this parable, as often Jesus gives us, or sometimes the gospel writers. There is an opening statement that occasions the parable, that is, the man who said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But we can't really tell if Jesus is agreeing with this man or disagreeing with him when he responded with the parable of the great banquet. Excuse me. In Martin Luther's House Postal Sermon for this gospel, he explains that Jesus was both agreeing and disagreeing with the man's statement. Jesus agreed that those who eat bread in the kingdom of God are blessed. But Jesus disagreed with the implied idea that everyone would be doing that. The final statement of the parable is verse 24, where Jesus says, and this is the kicker, "None of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." So clearly, some will be excluded from heaven, and that is due to their own fault. The secondary point of this parable is what is known as the Bible's particularism. That is, not everyone will go to heaven when they die or after Judgment Day. The opposite idea of what the Bible teaches is called universalism, and it's becoming more popular in the United States, even among Christians. Universalism argues that everyone will go to heaven, whether they believe in God or not, whether they are good or bad, or simply indifferent about religion. Another way of saying the same thing is to deny the existence of hell or eternal damnation. Some versions of universalism limit hell to the extremely criminal type, such as Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Al Capone, and the members of Al-Qaeda who destroyed the World Trade Center. Well, they obviously should go to hell, but the rest of us are fine. That's the idea, anyway. This parable of Jesus is directed especially against these ideas of universalism. And they were also present to some degree in the Roman culture of Jesus' day. Now, the primary point of this parable is not that. It is the generosity of the host, who is God, and the fact that what he offers in heaven is for free. And this is the main point that Luther develops in his sermon on this text, and rightly so. The attribute of God, namely his generosity, and his offer of complimentary tickets to the heavenly banquet, have been described by Christian theologians with the word grace. Most Christians sing the common hymn, Amazing Grace, but they don't all understand what that word grace really means. The Catholics think that grace is some type of spiritual power or quality that you receive yourself by partaking of the sacraments. The Reformed tend to see grace as a decision by God that he chose me. In other words, what a lucky guy I am to have been spared the fate of other people. Lutherans understand grace as a wonderful character quality in God, as seen in the example of the host in the parable of the great banquet. Grace means God is very generous. He invites everyone into his kingdom, and all of its benefits are for free. In other words, everybody's offered a complimentary ticket. That is really what the words grace and gracious God means. So then, why doesn't everybody come to the banquet if they've all been invited? Now, if you listen to the excuses of those who do not accept the gospel invitation, they're really all lame excuses. What God asks of you and everyone else is that you believe in Jesus and be baptized, Mark 16:18, Acts 16:31 to 33. God does not demand good works as a necessary condition for entering his kingdom. Sure, he wants you to obey his commandments and love your neighbor, but that is not a condition of entering or remaining in his kingdom. Certainly is not a payment for doing that. Properly understood, Christianity is the least demanding religion in the world, and it promises the greatest benefits in the afterlife. Unless you are certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there is no afterlife, you are really a fool to ignore Jesus' invitation to come to the heavenly party. I mean, put it into your terms. Would you turn down free season tickets to the Giants box seats with all the extras added gratis for eternity? You would have to be a die-hard Oakland A's fan to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.